Always a very fun word in the church. That word submission, especially if you want to rile up a lady a lot of times. You just throw that word out, and you can have yourself a good old country.
Hoedown.
Hoedown. All right, that's a good word. All right. Let's pray, and let's dedicate our time to the Lord. Father, thank you so much for your word. And God, we naturally just walk away from you. Lord, I don't know where everybody's at this week, but I pray that you would draw us close this morning to your heart, Lord, through your word. And as we open up the scriptures, we would ask the Holy Spirit to do the work that only he can do. And Lord, if there needs to be conviction in our hearts this morning, I would pray for that. Lord, if there needs to be more of a revelation of truth and where you stand and where we stand, if it's apart, Lord, we just pray that that gap would get smaller. We want to truly be like Jesus in the way that we live our lives and the way that we speak. And Lord, this can be a very difficult subject matter, especially in our world. And so we would ask this morning that you would help us to be more godly, more like Jesus rather than worldly. And so give us biblical perspective and align our hearts with that truth. And Lord, guide our discussion. And Lord, help us just to gravitate toward the truth. May it be for all of your glory and all of your honor, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just to say thank you, you guys, for those of you that prayed for me this week. I went up to a high school camp, hung out with like 60 high schoolers. That can be just a challenge in and of itself. Two weeks ago, I put it together like 9 messages, and God just showed up in a powerful way. And those teens were just our time in the Word. It was the most unified high school camp I've ever been to. The way that God moved through the students was amazing. But just to let you know, our high schoolers today are facing things that I never faced in high school. Just the abuse, the homes that they come out of. Just how lost people are in our world today, trying to find meaning and purpose. And these kids are hurting at levels that are, I just can't even fathom it. And so it just gave me a real wake-up call to the blessing that my kids have grown up in a Christian home with two parents who love Jesus, we've poured our lives into them. And hopefully you can see some fruit from my own children in this church. But there's a lot of brokenness. And these kids are going into our world broken at levels that are just incredible. So just to pray for that next generation. These kids are on fire for Jesus right now, but we know we have a real enemy, and he's going to be attacking day one when they get back off that mountain. So I'm sure the attacking has already started. So if you just think of them, just to pray for them. But thank you for praying. I really do appreciate it. All right, this morning we're going to talk about how to be biblically submissive. And I did not make extra notes because my goal is to get through all of that what you see right there. And you may say, that is impossible, it would take a miracle. Well, we believe in Jesus and we believe in miracles. And so it's going to happen this morning. We're going to start off with a few questions. When you think of the word authority, what picture image comes into your mind? What are some common words that people use when in authority? Or how does our world view authority? Some authority questions today. And we're going to talk about submission. But what do you say? What'd you say? The boss. Wow. I feel scared already about what we're going to talk about. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that kind of... Okay, good. Yeah. Boy, your picture images of authority, they're all scaring me. Okay. Okay, all right, yeah. Yes, ma'am. Okay, that's what you're saying to your authority. That's your kind of language that you're using? Excellent. You've practiced this? Okay, very good. Anybody else? Don't want to miss anybody, yeah. Okay. Okay, your parental figure that God has placed in your life. Very good. Anyone else? All right. What is authority in your notes there? The most common Greek word that you find is the word exousia. And this is what it means. It means authority or power. But here's what's really interesting when you look at the Greek word. Because when I say this to you, you may say, is that our governmental authority? It's especially used in terms of, listen very carefully, moral influence. That's what it's actually, it's key to that. So when we talk about biblical New Testament authority, it is always linked toward the influence of morals. Now, that's why hopefully we'll have a discussion this morning about what that is. A person with authority has the personal freedom to act because of their position, but they act in such a way that it influences morality. And we're talking about biblical morality. If somebody's placed, like, let's say, for our pastor, he's in a position of biblical authority, but his position is to exercise freedom in the advancement of morality. Biblical morality, godly morality, that's what Pastor Craig and the elders are here to do, is they are in a position to influence us by the way that they live, by the way that they teach us in morality. And you might say characteristics of God. Simply, a person who has authority has the right or the ability to be in control. But that control is seen differently when we talk about biblical authority, because that's always linked, when you look at it, even by the way Jesus used his or exercised his authority. I use the term servant leadership. Leadership in the church is different than the world. It's actually totally opposite. Leadership in the world, authority in the world, oftentimes is I'm in a position of authority and you will serve me. Biblical authority, when it comes to leadership in the church and how Jesus wants us to lead, is to serve those that we are over. So when you think of a shepherd and the shepherd would lay down his life for the sheep. The shepherd lived with the sheep. Everything was about the tender care of the sheep. And so he was really a servant leader in a lot of ways. Now, I'm not going to get into the fact that shepherds were having moral influence with the sheep, okay? But, yes, thank you. But as far as, like, the leadership of our own church, that is true, okay? That's servant leadership. Why am I to submit to authority? We're going to get out our scriptures right now. So get your Bibles ready. We're going to kind of go back and forth, different verses. This is a topical message. And so, if you have your Bibles, turn with me first to 1 Peter 2:13. Why am I to submit to authority? We're going to go through five reasons. 1 Peter 2:13. Would somebody please read 1 Peter 2:13 through 15?
Therefore, submit yourself to every ordinance of the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors as to those who are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of disobedience.
Excellent. All right, so first in your notes there, why are we to submit to authority? According to the verses there, verse 15 specifically, because it is God's will. It is God's will. And notice in the verses, very interesting, he said, who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. We're talking about moral influence right there. There's the key. Now, does everyone who is in a position of authority exercise their authority in that way? No. Okay? But here's the big thing about Scripture. God's word is very clear. It is the will of God. He places those in those positions of authority to do that. As Christians, we should be willing to follow God's will. That's what I strive for, is to follow God's will. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. And so, as Jesus has laid out certain things, that's how I want to live. If we're not living in submission to the authority that God has placed in our lives, then my question is, are we doing the will of God? Okay, we're going to have to discuss that. All right, here's number two. Because God placed our authority over us. Go with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Would somebody, if they have Romans 13, 1, be willing to read that nice and loud? Just go for it. Okay. So, number two, because God has placed our authority over us. As a representative of Him, here's the thing. You may not like your authority. I hear all the time. Well, not all the time right now, but I've heard at times past, I don't like my boss. But here's the thing. Whatever your authority is, God has placed them over you for a specific reason. This morning, we support Voice of the Martyrs, and they always give a calendar out every year. And every single day, you can pray for the persecuted church. Well, this morning, we were to pray for the pastors who serve in Iraq. Now, most of the Christians have been driven out of Iraq, but the whole blip said, listen, pray for the pastors that have remained, because there still are people there faithfully witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's their authority, their spiritual authority over there. And what's going on over in those kinds or those parts of the world, we think to ourselves, wow, would God allow this to happen? Well, it is all within the plans of God. It can be hard, though. And I find it interesting that we're talking about this now in light of a decision that was recently made by our authority just a little over a week ago, and all the stuff that's going on with social media, and the fact that they do have influence, but when it comes to godly morals, they are not standing for those principles and those morals as well, but they do have influence, okay? Remember, when we talk about biblical authority, it is always linked toward moral influence, all right? Here's number three in your notes. Why are we to submit? Because God rewards those who submit to authority. Because God rewards those who submit to authority. So let's talk about this briefly, since we've got some minutes. Is this a mic? Okay. Here? Can you still hear me? I don't know. Bob just came over and grabbed my shirt and threw that on there. So I'm like, all righty. Anybody else want to throw something on my shirt? Okay. Does it sound better now? Was there some like feedback?
No. Yeah. That just goes to my...
Oh.
But it was buzzing through the speakers.
Okay. You hear me still?
Yes.
And there's no feedback?
We're good.
Everybody's happy. All right. Let's move on. All right. So when we have authority in our life, let's say that there is no moral influence in the way that they're exercising their authority. So how does God reward those who submit to unbiblical or maybe authority that does not act in a way that influences people morally? What do you think there? Can God bless your life still? What does that look like? Did that question make sense? No? Okay, so let's say that you have an evil president who does not follow the Lord. Please don't think of anybody in particular. I'm just using this as an example. I really am. It's just an example. But, Senator, whatever. How do you submit to their authority when you are maybe morally in disagreement of how they do things? What does that look like? What does that look like in your speech? What does that look like in your actions? How do you honor God to submit to that authority where God would be able to reward your life in the way that you're dictating that? What does that look like? Yes. Pay your taxes. Okay, Jesus talks about that. That's good. Yeah.
Obeying the law as long as those laws don't disagree with God.
Okay, very good. Yeah, as long as they don't disagree with God. Yes.
And Scripture does talk about living peaceably. So I think that's one of the rewards of submitting to the authorities conditionally is, in those areas. So.
Amen. Very good. Yes. Okay? I've heard people say that. So can you explain to me what that looks like? You'll hear people say things like this. You need to hate the sin, but love the sinner. You need to respect the office. So what does that look like to you? I'm agreeing with you. It's hard to play it out sometimes in my mind. It is hard. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I just want to kind of investigate it.
That's where we sit down here where, the offices are right here. And if we sit here and slander it and mock it and ridicule it and say how much we hate it, that's not honoring the office. We may disagree with
the person's office and what they're doing, mm-hmm. but we can still respect it by not jumping on the bandwagon of ridicule and slander.
Good. Yeah. We're going to get to it, but yes.
This probably explains it better than I can.
Okay.
One of my daily devotionals, and about, you know, it was about praying for
good.
Surround the president with godly advisors. Inscribe on their hearts the knowledge of your will so that they may know you better. And that's how I pray for them.
Excellent.
Can I add one word?
Yes, sir.
Vote.
Vote. That's a good word. Tom, were you going to say something? Excellent. Yeah, here, let me just, I'm just going to come to you as I am. You get to, as I teach, you'll get to know a little bit more about me. And here's a statement I will make according to this. When I am criticizing, I am not praying. When I am praying, I am not criticizing. It's very interesting how that works, just in general, in relationship, but especially in relationship to my authority. Anytime I'm critical of my authority, that is how I'm filling my mouth, and that's how I'm filling my time, is all those critical thoughts, all those critical words, all those critical actions, okay? But when I'm filling my time and being prayerful, just like it was pointed out, I don't have time because my time is filled with praying. I don't have time to be criticizing. And so as a challenge to us in this way, we know that God is ultimately in control. But when we align ourselves with the will of God, it usually comes through, I find, praying. Praying according to God's word and being in God's word. So just something to think about. We'll get to that in just a minute. Here's number four. Why do we submit to authority? Because it can bring long life. Now, we're not going to go to the verse, but the verse has to do with actually being in submission to your parental authority in Ephesians 6. But let's just think about this practically for a second. Okay? God promises long life to those who will submit to their parental authority. Promise. But here's what I would think. If we exercise that across the board with authority in general, not that God guarantees it because it's not a direct promise, but I think it can bring us long life. Why would I say that? Okay, it changes your attitude. Okay? Yeah. Okay. Good. Let's say I don't want to... What'd you say? It could bring me happiness. Okay. All right. Submission to my authority. What if I don't want to submit... Here, I'll give you an example. What if I don't want to submit to the laws of the land that have been instituted by my, let's say, government authority? Is there a danger with my life with that? Let's just say I wake up and I go, you know what? I want red to be green and green to be red. I'm going to get in my car, and when it's red, it's not really red, it's green. You know why? Because that's what I say. Is there going to be a problem at any sort of an intersection at that point? Probably. So the whole point is this, when we submit to authority in our lives, it just practically speaking, it can bring long life. Although it's not a direct promise of God, I think just practically speaking, it plays itself out that way. Does that make sense? Okay. Number five, why are we to submit? Because it is a good testimony to unbelievers. If you have your Bibles, let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 3. And just as a kind of a clue to you guys, when we talk about this subject matter, 1 Peter chapter 3, good place to go. Would somebody be willing to read 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2? Excellent. Okay, so you have an unbelieving wife. She wants to win her husband over. What's the advice in 1 Peter here? How is that to be done? Be submissive to her husband, okay? And what would that have anything to do with her testimony?
She would be respected, not
Okay? And that might do what in her husband's life if he sees? Okay. Okay. Now again, this is not a direct promise of the Lord. This has to do with marriage in the context of marriage. But the point is this, we can apply it to authority in general. I mean, think about it. You guys know, for any of us that are on social media, for any of us that watch the news, we know, at least from a conservative perspective, and I'm not here to get into politics this morning, so please just listen to me. From a political perspective, all of the talk, there is a lot of talk, and there's a lot of people looking forward to the next election already. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about it already. Some people hold the opinion, you know, I want our current president to be out right now. I want a new guy in. You know, all these opinions are flying around. But just think about this for a second from the perspective of a person who follows Christ. The way that we can influence just by the way that we respond to authority that's difficult. I mean, let's face it. If there is a woman who is in a situation in a marriage where she has a difficult husband, but she can win him over by the testimony that she holds before him, I think the same can be true in our conversation, the way we carry ourselves about any kind of authority in our lives, by the way we converse about them. Now, again, great perspective. Maybe you disagree with your government, but to have a conversation with someone and say, you know what, I may disagree, but I got to let you know something. I pray for them every day or often. And people might say, who's an unbeliever, why would you do that? It creates conversation. It creates the opportunity to share about your relationship with God, the trust that you have, the ability to submit to someone that you disagree with in different ways. I mean, think of the opportunities that we would have just as this small congregation in Mesquite, Nevada, in the conversations that we have. When we live a life in submission to the authority that God's placed over us, even when we disagree with them. Does that make sense? So when I say because it's a good testimony to unbelievers, I say if in our hearts we can come to a place where we can accept that and say, Lord, give me opportunity to know what it means as much as I can according to your word and your ways and your will, live in submission to my authority, have the opportunity to maintain and to proclaim a good testimony for you. I think, believe it or not, it could be an evangelism opportunity, and we don't often pray that way. Oh, yeah, in my political sphere or social media or conversation, God, give me an opportunity to be a good testimony for you in the way that I talk and act about my authority. All right? But why are we to do that? Why are we to submit to authority? Because it's a good testimony to unbelievers. Any questions or comments before we move on? Anybody? Does everybody understand so far where we're kind of going? There's not one person that is saying that they understand. Does everybody understand?
Yes.
You guys are really scaring me this morning. All right. I'm loosening them up for you, Pastor Craig, for next. All right. Who is in authority? All right, let's look at what the Scripture says to better understand who God has placed over us. Okay, and there's six. We're not going to look at every one, but you can look at some of these up on your own time this week if you want. Number one, your notes, you can write this down. Divine authority. We're not going to look at those verses, but divine authority. We are speaking of who? Who is an ultimate authority? God is. That's actually really tough. It may not be tough for us, but listen, I pray for, I study the persecuted church, and I get magazines, and I go online, and some of the things that the church is going through on a worldwide perspective, I have tried to place myself in their perspective from this vantage point, you might say, and it's to ask this question, Lord, do I really believe you're in control right now because of the way I'm suffering for my faith? Because those are the moments that you really begin to question, God, where are you in times of this? So you have Pastor Saeed Abedini. You guys know who he is? He's over, is it Iraq? Iran. Forgive me, Lord. But he's in jail right now, and his health is failing him. He has been tortured for his faith. You know, are there times in the moment, in the silence for him, where he goes, God, where are you? How are you in control right now? We have a friend, his name is Pastor Darren Tyler. He's outside of Nashville. He has had his wife come and speak at their church before. He is in a conversation, you might say. And then there's a Christian firm that is kind of trying to defend him to the government right now and get him freed. And I've been in conversations with Pastor Darren online before about it, and he just says just to keep praying that God would sustain him. But you know, in those times, it makes me wonder for him, is he ever get to a place where he feels just so discouraged and just says, God, where are you? I can't even believe that you're over this. But again, it's an opportunity for a testimony for him. Number two in your notes, we're going to go back to, well, we won't turn there, it's okay, but civil authority. Civil authority. If you do have your Bibles, go to Romans 13. I was not going to do it, but we'll just do it. Romans 13. Again, mark this as a place that you can read on your own time when it comes to this subject of submission to authority. Dave, you got that? Would you mind reading verses 2 through 7, since we already did verse 1? 13, 2 through 7.
Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. Rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good, but if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on one who practices evil.
Through seven?
Oh, I went through four, sorry.
You're right.
Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them. Tax, who taxes due. Custom, to whom custom, to whom custom, fear, to whom fear, honor, to whom honor.
There's the big T word that everybody loves so much, right? Taxes. All right, so civil authority. You have rulers like Nero. He was the emperor of Rome. He wasn't persecuting Christians necessarily at this time, but he had times of persecution. There's always people who are placed in positions of authority by God who are influenced by the world and by Satan. That's inevitable. But in the grand plan of God, God is ultimately in control. So when we talk about these kinds of people who you might disagree with, outside of prayer, what other ways can you submit or live in such a way that you would honor God in the way that you respond to unbiblical authority? Anybody want to take a stab at that? What are some other ways that we can, other than prayer, what do you think?
Obey.
Obey, okay.
Well,
meaning, yeah, they are not advancing, like I said, remember that key term is moral influence. They're not advancing God's morals, okay? I think we can understand what that means because that is much of authority today. They are not advancing the morals of God. Really, the only really true authority that I know of that's actually doing that are pastors and elders and teachers within the church. When it comes to governmental authority or civil authority, I know in Uganda, there are leaders that claim to be Christians. And I know in America, too, we have people in government positions that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they feel a specific calling to be in that position for what reason? For moral influence. That's the reason that they're there. They may be outnumbered, but they've been placed there. Yeah. Babe?
I was raised to call a president by his name, President Reagan, President Bush, but we have gotten in a very bad habit of calling presidents names. Even as I've seen believers call Obama terrible names. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
All sorts of names, and I just respect the position, but we should also respect. I don't think we respect some of the things, a lot of the things he's done, but he's the president of the United States, and we should not be called names.
I don't know about you, but that just convicted me, and I'll just share this with you. I thank you for that, babe, by the way. And by the way, that's my babe. So if anybody wants to know, I don't call you guys babe. So anyway, but I will admit to you, I honestly don't actually call him president. And I think it's a lack of respect by me. And I feel very convicted, you guys, just before you, teaching you. But, I mean, I don't say President Obama. I just call him Obama. And I feel as though the Lord's telling me right now, you need to quit that because you need to honor the office. You may disagree with him, but I have placed him there for my overall purpose. And who are you just to... So that's a great way to have a testimony. You know, I've heard people call him President Osama bin Laden. I mean, very, very, you know, of course, if you're in a setting of a group of people and somebody does that, what's your reaction? You just laugh at that. I mean, obviously, but all of that to say, that's a great point. We see how we just get tripped up in little things, you guys? Because really, if we are going to honor the office, it should be President Obama. Whether you agree with him or not, it just should be that. And that may spark conversation. Well, I would never call him president, because I don't respect the man. Well, it maybe gives you an opportunity right there to have a great testimony of our response to what we would consider unbiblical authority because of the lack of moral influence. Yes?
What I find interesting is people that are in positions of authority, we have a harder time viewing them the same way that we do the average person in the world that is not a believer.
Amen. Yeah, thank you. Very good points, you guys. Very good. Thank you for convicting me. Thank you, Jesus, for convicting me through the body. Absolutely. Absolutely. Something for us to consider. Yes?
Because if we did pray for him, like Ron said, then he would be making different decisions.
Yes? Amen.
We have walked away from the Lord as a nation. We've walked away from the Lord largely as a church. And I think God is allowing the brought in the darkness that is over us today to help us recognize the grievousness in his heart for how we regard him and our submission to him, submission to one another, and exalting him through...
Great point.
...be convicted of...
Great point.
Well,
then here's the challenge for me. I'll just tell you what God's kind of just putting in my heart right now. We have a choice. The darkness has come. Let's just use that as an example. So we as light, we have a choice. We can either fade out and join the darkness, or we can let our light shine brightly, you guys. Those are our choices, really. And we can let our light shine brightly through praying. Like really saying, Lord, okay, I'm not going to just talk about it, but every day I'm going to commit to praying for my president, not just praying for old Obama because he needs a lot of help. And I mean, our attitudes can stink. Really can. They can be more worldly than godly, even though we're trying to accomplish godliness. So that's huge. I love what I'm hearing this morning. That's really good stuff. Yeah. Correct. Yeah, true. Yeah.
Only been 200 years.
Correct. Humanity is very cyclical, is it not? And so even though we're Americans, we're not really that far ahead of the game, even though we always think we are. But that's just a pride problem, okay? It just humanity is humanity, and we still walk away from God. All right, we got to move on because my promise was that we'd get through it, and I promise you, we've got 10 minutes, we're going to do it. All right, number three is pastoral authority. Roger, you're doubting me. I saw you look at your watch there. Pastoral authority. Go in your Bibles to Hebrews 13:17. We're going to read this verse. This is a good one. I'm doing this for the benefit of Pastor Craig and our elder team right now. Would somebody, if they get to Hebrews 13:17, read that loud and proud for all of us to hear what this has to say?
joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you.
I have that, by the way, underlined like a billion times in my Bible. Maybe partly because I pastored for 21 years. But the point is this. God has placed Pastor Craig and our elders over us for spiritual care and concern. And our job is to make it easier on them, not tougher. Because they actually, according to God's word, they're going to have to give an account of their responsibility. And it's to a greater degree than most of us. And so how are we living according to that? One of the greatest things that you can do to support your pastor and your elders is that when they teach and they preach, to be sensitive to how the Holy Spirit speaks to you and respond in obedience. Not to rise up and go, oh, I don't like this. Or like I said, if I'm not criticizing, I'm praying. If I'm praying, I'm not criticizing. So let's be a praying church. A lot of churches, what they're really good at, they're good at criticizing. But they're not so good at praying, because you can't do one or you can't do both at the same time, really. So my challenge to you is to recognize that authority. That's your spiritual authority. Number four is occupational authority. Who are we talking about right there?
The boss.
The boss, right? That's tough. Is that tough, Dave, sometimes? I hate to put you on the spot. We've had conversations, so I can do that to my brother-in-law. He's not my babe, but he's my bro. So there we go. Number five, you can write down parental authority. Oh, teenagers. Oh, teenagers over here. What a lovely subject that we're not going to get into any more than that. But just understand that God gave you your mom and dad as a gift to exemplify himself. And as parents, we fail. But understand, it's a promise of God, that long life, parental authority in our lives is so very important. All right. And then mutual marital authority. Where we submit to one another. Now, yes, in the home, according to Scripture, God has called the man to rise up, to be the protector, the provider, all of these things. But there's also what we call mutual authority. We don't oftentimes see that in our world. It's for a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? How do I love authority? Okay, we're going to go through this rather quickly because I say so. Number one, under divine authority, we are to submit to God. Submit to God. Submission is simply an inner obedience, okay? Number two, you are to obey God when it comes to him being in a position of authority. And then thirdly, you can write down, serve God. Serve God. We have civil authority. We are to obey them. That means our attitude should be that we are ready to do that which is good. You see, here's the key, I think, to civil authority, and that is if they are not promoting moral influence, the best thing that we can do in the way that we live our lives is to respond in such a way that it advances moral influence. Okay? Maybe that's not the way that they go, but that's the way that we go, and we do that in submission to civil authority to the best of our ability as God directs. Number two, always a popular one, pay them. We already read about it. Pay them. Why is that such a big deal, do you think? What do you think? Why do people get really fired up about taxes? Just talk to anybody about April. Usually people are really fired up about it. What do you think? What's the rub?
Not fair.
It's not fair.
It's our hard-earned money.
It's our hard-earned money.
It's not being spent well.
It's not being spent well. Okay? Yeah, I get it. We won't go there now, but good job. All right, number three. Respect and honor them the way that God has called us to. We've already had discussion about what that kind of looks like. We wanted to give you some practical advice. I think we've had some good discussion points on it. And then number four, don't speak evil or quarrel with them. Don't speak evil or quarrel with them. All right, number three, pastoral authority. Grow in your faith. And I've given you the other ones, but grow. One of the greatest ways that you can support your pastor and your elders is to, outside of their time of direct influence on you, so when Pastor Craig gets up here in a few minutes and he'll deliver a sermon, that which God wants us to think about and pray about it and chew on this week, but then to respond to it. One of the greatest ways you can love your pastor and love your elders, it doesn't always mean that you have to go find them and talk to them. One of the greatest things you can do is respond to the Word of God. Because if you're responding to the Word of God, you're not criticizing. If you're responding to the Word of God, you're not quarreling and fighting in the church. If you respond to the Word of God, you're not causing division. If you respond to the Word of God, you are encouraging the body of Christ. If you respond to the Word of God, you are living an evangelistic type of life. Do you understand? I mean, it's a beautiful thing. And God can take the kaleidoscope of all of our personalities, all of our giftings. And you guys, I really believe this. This is going to sound crazy to you, but I believe this church can have a major impact on Mesquite, Nevada, and the entire globe. Now, you may say you are a Fruit Loop, but I absolutely believe that. And the reason why oftentimes a local church does not have that kind of impact is because truly the people don't believe it. And it starts right here with us, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and where we're at. And so I plead with you on behalf of my pastor and the elders of our church, who I deeply respect, who I pray for. And one of the greatest ways that I choose to respond is when Pastor Craig speaks the Word of God, or Dave teaches, or anybody, I come and I say, God, how do you want me to change? How do you want me to be more like Jesus so I can support my pastor? And I've already talked to Pastor Craig. I've told him we are here to support the spiritual authority over us, and I appreciate them so much. I probably don't tell them enough. I'm not going to cry, but it's true. All right. Occupational authority. Number one, respect and fear them. Number two, serve them sincerely. Sincerely means from a heart that desires to obey the Word of God first and foremost, and to do it in such a way that it brings a testimony about it. Number three, work hard publicly and privately because it is God's will. What do I mean by that? Publicly and privately. Well, my dad owns a rather large business in Northern California. When I worked for him as a teenager, I'd be in the back, I'd be sweeping or whatever, in the very, very back of the warehouse. And people, when my dad would walk around the corner, man, people would, they'd be working really hard, man. They're just going to town. And the moment he leaves, they're back talking, yakking, smoking, whatever they're doing, they're not working. It was amazing. And I oftentimes, just because I like to, I'd rat people out. It was kind of fun. But I was the boss's kid. I mean, what am I supposed to do? I'm saving the company money. Come on. All right. Number four, work with enthusiasm. You want a way to have a great testimony, but how about this? How about go with the mindset that I work for my boss, but I work for Jesus. That's who I really work for. And I'm going to be a hard worker. I'm going to have integrity. I'm going to have honesty. And I'm going to let Jesus shine through the way that I have enthusiasm. It reflects obedience to God's word. All right, parental authority, obey them. Honor them. What would be the difference between obeying them and honoring them? Anybody? Obeying your parents, honoring your parents.
Don't talk about them.
Don't talk about them.
In a negative way.
I'm following you. Yes?
Talk about them.
Talk about them. In a positive way. Very good.
Love them.
Love them. Very good.
Okay, obeying them is an action. Honoring
okay. I gotcha. Very good. All right. Mutual marital authority. Very quickly, two of them. Unconditional love for God and each other is the key to mutual submission. Unconditional love. And then secondly, treat your wife, I always tell the guys, with gentle care. Gentle care. Number three, our actions bring weight to our words. So make sure that what I mean by that is our lifestyle and our lips are saying the same thing. Saying the same thing. Number four, developing inward beauty is effective. Too many ladies in our world today, they think it's all about the outward. That's what our world is screaming. But God talks a lot about that inward. Number five, mutual submission is a key to God answering prayer. 1 Peter 3:7. You can go to 1 Peter 3 and look it up sometime. We're not going to do it right now. But it's interesting. It affects our prayer life. And then number six, return a hurtful word or action with a helpful word or action. It's amazing what God can do in a situation like that. All right, three more things. Sorry, Pastor Craig, I'm a minute over. Number one, you will always answer to someone in life. Welcome to our world. So, it's an important subject. Number two, living in submission to God makes it easier to live in submission to other people. It's a very big key. So if I'm struggling with my authority, like civil authority, How am I living according to God's word? The key is, the litmus test is this. I'm probably not consistently obeying God's word. Because if I'm obeying God's word, the manifestation is I obey my civil authority. Listen, hey teens, real quick. If I'm living in submission to God's word, my parental authority isn't a big deal. I don't complain about mom and dad because guess what? The manifestation of living according to God's word is I'm not complaining about my parents. I'm not telling everybody that they are, you know, they're hardcore rule makers in this and complaining. You're not in God's word. Sorry to call you out, but that's the truth. So, little key there, little helpy help. There you go. Number three, a submissive attitude will increase your faith because it's an issue of trust always with God. God, help me to trust you more because this person is driving me nuts and he's my boss or whatever it is, okay? So, sorry to rush through. Hopefully you got something out of that good discussion. Let's pray so that we can worship together in just a minute, all right? Let's do it. Father, thank you so much for your word again. It challenges us because our hearts, just naturally, Lord, in our natural state, we walk away from you. And we need to be aligned, realigned every single week in your word. Lord, hopefully daily for those that attend River Valley Bible Church. Lord, do you want to pray for us that we would consider having a good testimony in the way that we talk about the president, when we talk about our authority. Lord, may we live according to your word because really, truly, you are glorified when we do. We have a better attitude and we speak in a way that glorifies your name. And so help us to do that for unbelievers, Lord, and their salvation, and Lord, also for our sanctification that we'd be more like Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.